How would you like to be rich? Rich in gold. I know that may sound strange to many ears, but believe it or not, that is God's plan for you. Welcome to the grand finale of a 7-part series called God, Satan, Money, and You, produced by White Horse Media. If you have missed the first 6 programs, you can watch them on our YouTube channel. This is the final one, number 7, and it's called Gold Tried in the Fire. I promise you this is going to be very interesting, so pick up your Bible and join with us and turn to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel 2, Paul. Welcome here again.
Good to be back.
This is going to be good. And for those that maybe are just tuning in first time, in part 6, we went down through Bible history and we talked about gold and silver, and then we moved into the final time when nobody can buy or sell. And this time, we want to continue on and talk about gold and silver, especially in Bible prophecy. Mm. That's our focus.
So. That sounds like an exciting study.
Indeed.
Well, Daniel chapter 2, verse 32 is where we want to start here today. And speaking of this image, if you recall, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream about an image. And here Daniel is interpreting this, and he says, the image of head was of fine gold, and its breast and its arms were silver. So the image of gold, or the head of gold, was represented by Babylon, wasn't it?
Right, and this is an image of a man, right?
Right, it is.
Right, and the king of Babylon had this dream, and he didn't understand it, or at least he forgot it, and his wise men didn't know what it was, couldn't think of it, and of course couldn't explain it. So Daniel came in, and then Daniel explained it, what these different metals represented. And at the end of verse 38, Daniel looked at the king of Babylon, and he said, you are this head of gold. Mm. And Paul, I've given many Bible prophecy seminars on Daniel and Revelation. And for years, I've gone through this prophecy. But just recently, I saw something different that I'd never seen before. And that was that gold in prophecy, starting with Daniel 2, is identified with Babylon. And that was sort of a different, fresh dimension that I hadn't really seen, because I'd been doing some research on what the Bible says about gold and silver and the economy and different things and the future and prophecy, and that just really struck me. Now, we see something similar in Daniel 3, don't we?
Daniel 3 starts out, it says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. So here Nebuchadnezzar makes the entire image of gold.
Right.
As if to represent Babylon entirely by gold.
Yeah, he didn't like the idea that he was just the head in Daniel 2.
Right.
He wanted to be the whole body.
He wanted to be the whole body.
So he made the image. And again, it says that this image was gold. So again, you see just the symbolism and the imagery and the prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, gold is connected to Babylon. Now, let's go to Daniel 11. We're of course not going to go through all the prophecies of the book of Daniel, but Daniel 11 takes you down through the history of the rise and fall of nations. And in verse 40, it takes us down to the time of the end. In verse 40, it says, at the time of the end, certain things are going to happen. And in our church, there's a lot of different views on the last 5 verses of Daniel 11. There's been a lot of discussion about this, and we're not going to get into all those different views. But read the first part of verse 43, because in the light of our study about gold and silver, this verse should just pop out at us.
Okay, it says, verse 43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things.
Yes, and this is the king of the north. Mm-hmm. There's the king of the south, the king of the north. And verses 43, 44, and 45 really take you into the final apocalyptic sequence.
That's right.
Of not what happened in ancient times with ancient Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome, but it takes you down to the final times. And it has really impressed me that one of the characteristics of the King of the North in the final sequence is that he will have power. My Bible says power. Does yours say power?
It says power.
Yeah, I think some Bibles say authority. He shall have power or authority over the treasures of gold and silver. So it's not just ancient Babylon with the head of gold and Nebuchadnezzar who built his whole image of gold, but when you get down into the final sequence, you've
spiritual
got the
Babylon,
yeah, spiritual too. Babylon, the king of the north. He gets power or control over the gold and the silver. And significantly, the very next verse says, but tidings out of the east and out of the north will trouble him. And my conviction from what I've studied, when it says the tidings, that's the message, yeah, out of the east. In Revelation 7, we have the angel coming from the east with the seal of God. And in Ezekiel 43, it talks about God coming from the east and the earth being lightened with his glory, mm-hmm, that this is really a picture in verse 44 of the final cry. We call it the latter rain, the loud cry that comes from God's people against the king of the north, or mm-hmm, against Babylon. And it says, he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. So there's his final rage against the people of God because of this message coming from the east and the north. And then in verse 45, at the end, it says he will come to his end and none will help him. And as you look at this sequence, it's just really interesting that in verse 43, he gets the power over the gold and the silver. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 44, we have the loud cry against him.
Yeah.
And then he's mad. And then in verse 45, he comes to his end. And it seems to me, if you look at the book of Revelation, when the time comes when nobody can buy or sell, which we talked about in our last program, that's the time right before the latter rain and the loud cry goes out. So it seems to me there's a parallel between nobody can buy or sell and the king of the north getting control of the gold and the silver. And we talked about that in the last, yeah, program, that the more the devil can get control of the real most valuable assets in the world, then the easier it is to control those who don't have those things, those who are just in digital dollars. And we talked about that, and here's just another, we mentioned this last time, that here's a very beautiful looking silver dollar, right? This is one of the oldies but goodies, $1. This is an American Eagle silver dollar, pretty heavy. And this is a current $10 bill, a Federal Reserve note. And I've done a lot of homework on this, and there's a lot that I could say, but it seems to me, Paul, that's what's happening is that as the value of paper currency goes down, the value of gold and silver goes up. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And, when you look at this, and you think people today are thinking a lot about inflation. I mean, it's one of the big issues in the economy and the average person, that prices keep going up and up. And from what I've studied, inflation does not simply mean prices are going up. What it also means is that the value of what we're using to purchase different things is going down.
Losing its purchasing power.
That's right. So it says the value of paper money goes down, the value of hard assets like gold and silver go up. And there's a lot of people talking about this. The economists are talking about it. The news are talking about it. You know, it's not a secret. And it just, as I put these pieces together, it seems to me that as we move into the end of time, and we're going to go into the book of Revelation, that the devil's goal is to get more and more of the gold and the silver on his side, so that what other people, the masses, are dealing with can be more easily controlled, which eventually leads to the control mechanism when the mark of the beast is enforced.
That's right.
I have a very interesting quote here.
Oh, yes.
That I shared with you a little bit ago. This is from the book that we've both been quoting from numerous times, and this is the book called Counsels on Stewardship. And listen to this. On page 154, this is, it says the great deceiver. Here is what the devil's trying to accomplish. The devil says, we must do our utmost to prevent those who labor in God's cause from obtaining means to use against us. Mm-hmm. Keep the money in our ranks. The more means they obtain, referring to God's people, the Lord's servants, the more they will injure our kingdom by taking from us our subjects.
Wow.
So, and as we talked about in this whole series, there, to me, it seems like there's two ditches. The first program we did was called The Root of All Evil. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's one ditch. If Satan can get us to love money, to love, you know, gold and silver, to love dollars or whatever it is above the Lord, then he's got us
got
on
us
his side.
His snare.
That's right. But the other ditch is for us to think, well, you know, the whole idea of having means and having something really we shouldn't talk about or think about. But the truth is that means or money is something that God can use and we can use to advance his cause.
Right.
So we don't want to get onto the one ditch and love money. We want to love Jesus more.
Absolutely.
But we don't want to get onto the other ditch where we think that money is not important because it's valuable to help advance the cause of God. And this quote in Councils on Stewardship says that the devil's goal is to keep the money on his side and to keep it away from us because he knows that if it's in the hands of God's people who don't love money but who love him and want to use money.
Manage it for his glory.
Yes, manage it for his glory to advance his work and to meet legitimate needs and help people, then it can do a lot of damage to the devil's kingdom.
Yeah,
so now let's go to Revelation and let's keep building this interesting study in the light of Bible prophecy. Go to Revelation chapter 17. What do we read there in the first few verses?
Okay. Let's see, Revelation 17, and maybe start in verse 4.
Sure, yeah, this is talking about the harlot, the great whore, which is Babylon.
And it says, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
Right, and in verse 5, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So we started out with ancient Babylon with the head of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nebuchadnezzar built the statue of gold. So gold was connected to Babylon.
Yep.
And then we read Revelation 17, lo and behold, sure enough.
Decked with gold.
That's right. We have this harlot woman, and she is just loaded. She's decked with the gold, and she has a golden cup. So once again, gold in prophecy is connected to Babylon, connected to the harlot.
Yep.
Now, what really, to me, this is the kicker, is when you go to chapter 18, which is the loud cry, which really is compares to Daniel 11:44, where the tidings from the north and the east trouble the king of the north. So here we have a parallel, and the angel comes down, lightens the earth with his glory.
Mm-hmm.
There's a final call to come out of Babylon, and it's the announcing of the doom that's coming upon Babylon, and then her judgments fall. In verse 8, it says, her plague shall come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she'll be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. So she goes down in chapter 18. Now, it's very interesting. When you read the rest of this chapter, different groups like the kings of the earth and the merchants are mourning over her. Mm. They're weeping over the fall of Babylon. Read verse 11 and the first part of verse 12, what the merchants are doing.
Okay, it says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver.
Right, and then it goes on and lists other things,
other precious,
but gold and silver is at the top of the list.
Yep.
And what's happening here is because Babylon has gone down, the merchants have lost their biggest client. The merchants are weeping and mourning and wailing because the woman Babylon, who they have been selling the gold and the silver to, mm-hmm. now their biggest client has gone down.
Yeah.
So to me, as I look at this, it tells me that the devil working through Babylon, his goal, just like way back in ancient times, so it is in the book of Revelation, the devil's goal through Babylon is to get that gold, to get the real money.
Get so, the power over the riches.
Yeah, like I said, as this goes down and this goes up, the devil knows this is where the value is. And if the devil can control, if the devil can amass most of the gold and the silver on Babylon's side, it's easier to then control the world. Because as the economy goes down, or as the monetary system potentially falls apart, and as crisis hits this planet, those that have the real assets have more power.
They'll have the control.
And the devil knows that. So he wants these things on his side. And so I've been really impressed with that. And another thing is verse 11 says, no man buys their merchandise anymore, the merchandise of gold and silver. So there's buying and selling. The merchants are selling, Babylon's buying. And when Babylon buys and gets more gold, then it's easier for her to control buying and selling in Revelation 13, 17, that nobody can buy or sell unless they have the mark of the beast. Now, the mark of the beast is not money or the lack of money. The mark of the beast is something else. But when the mark is enforced, which is a violation of God's law, which we've talked about, White Horse Mean has talked about in other programs, when the mark is enforced, the devil has a mechanism by which he can put the pressure on people that you need to go along with the mark.
That's using economic means.
Exactly, that nobody can buy or sell unless he has the mark. So that's where all of this ties in to prophecy. Now, let's go where we really want to go, which is in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3. Revelation 18 is about the loud cry that God's people give to the world. But in Revelation 3, we have the message that Jesus Christ gives to his people to prepare them and to humble them and to teach them what is most valuable as we enter into the final scenes.
That's right.
So we are then ready to participate in the loud cry. And we're not going to read the whole message to the Laodicean church, but why don't you start with verse 17 and then we'll go to verse 18, which is our punchline today.
Okay. Verse 17 says, because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked.
Right. So here is Jesus rebuking his own people who say they're rich. But it's a misguided understanding of riches. Now, whether they're saying that they're rich because of money, or whether they're saying they're rich because they just have a lot of truth, or maybe it's a combination of both. But the problem is that they're still boasting.
They're boasting. They think they have wealth.
Yeah, they think they have the right wealth. But in reality, Jesus says they're really poor. They're not rich. They're poor and they're blind and they're naked and they need to feel their need for him.
Yep.
And that leads us to the next verse.
And this is interesting. Jesus says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich.
Right.
So that's very interesting. When I think of this verse, I think, how do you cease to be poor? If you have gold, you cease to be poor, right? And he's counseling us to buy his gold.
That's right, to buy gold. So Babylon's got the gold. In Daniel 11, it says she has power over the gold. Revelation 18, when she goes down, she can't buy the gold and the silver anymore. And Jesus picks up on that and uses the word gold and riches to say, this is what I really want for my people. I want you to buy from me, there's buying, gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. So in the tease to this program, I looked at the camera and I said, did you know that God wants you to be rich? He wants you to be rich in gold. Believe it or not, I know that sounds strange, but it's true. And in my mind, I was thinking of this verse. I wasn't thinking about material wealth.
So what we need to learn is, what is this gold?
That's
that
right.
Jesus is referring
That's right.
To,
and
right?
If we have this gold, we're really rich. This is where real riches come from.
That's right.
And it's not just gold, it's the white clothing, which has to do with his righteousness, and then the eye salve, which is the Holy Spirit helping us to see that Jesus is number one. He's our greatest treasure, and to see what the Bible teaches, and to show us our sins and our need for a Savior. So what is this gold that Jesus is talking about that he wants us to have? It's not this gold, is it? It's not that this is bad. No. I mean, this is real money.
That's not what he's referring to.
But it's not the primary wealth that he wants his people to have.
Well, that's a good question, Steve. And there's a couple Bible verses that kind of allude to the answer to that question. James chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? So here we see a verse talking about rich in faith. So God's people, when their character is tried in the fire, they become rich in faith, don't they?
Okay, and you mentioned to me something about tried in the fire and gold refined in the fire, because this text says, Jesus says, I want you to buy from me gold tried in the fire. What does that mean?
Well, in Zechariah 13, there's a verse, Zechariah 13, verse 9, it says, and I will bring a third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall see the Lord is my God. So here he says, I want to try my people as gold is tried in the fire.
There's another verse in Malachi, I believe it's chapter 3, which says, God will sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver, and he will purify his people. So gold tried in the fire, from what I've read, the real gold is faith in Jesus and love. It's the love of God that leads us to love people and to keep his commandments. And there's another verse that I was thinking about, which is in Psalm 119, verse 7 and 10. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And then verse 10 says, more to be desired that is the law of God than gold, even much fine gold. And when the final crisis comes, we need the inner gold of faith in Jesus, love, a purified character, and one that loves the law of God, so that when nobody can buy or sell unless it goes along with the mark of the beast, when our money's cut off, our mutual funds, if we have them, our retirement accounts, our paychecks, our government checks, or our credit cards, our ability to buy groceries at Walmart, when all this is cut off, we need to have the mindset that we have the greater gold.
That's right.
We have Jesus Christ. We have his law. We have his word. We have his truth.
And Steve, there's another verse that comes to mind here. It's in 1 Timothy 6:18. They that do good, that they be rich in good works and ready to distribute. Now, when you talked about rich in obedience to God's law, if you do good works, you love God's law, don't you?
That's right.
So I once heard it said about gold. Of course, you know how the refining process works, right? They put it in a furnace, they heat it up to very high temperatures, and the impurities float to the top, and then they somehow extract the impurities from the gold. But how do they know, how does the refiner know when the gold is done refining?
I don't know. Tell me.
Well, he can see his reflection in the gold. And it's that way with our characters. We're going to be tried in the fire until we reflect Jesus' character. I just think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and it seems to me like we've talked about this whole series. I think I mentioned in this program or others that there's two ditches. One is the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Yep. And the other ditch is to fail to realize that money has value and that it can be used wisely.
It's a tool.
For the kingdom of God. And so it seems to me that we need purification in our lives. If we love money, that's a mistake, and we need to have that purified out of us so that when we can't buy or sell, and we don't have it because we're cut off, we'll be just fine with that. Mm. But on the other side, we also, I think many of us need to have the purification and a deeper understanding that God wants us to get a job. He wants us to work. He wants us to earn an income. He wants us to freely give our tithes and our offerings from an unselfish heart. And he wants us to use money wisely while we have it, to develop our talents, to use it for God, so we can hit the devil between the eyes and we can advance the work of God in this world.
That's right. You know, the devil wants
this purification that's needed on all sides of our hearts.
The devil wants to do the same thing, doesn't he? He wants to have control over the money.
That's
so
right.
He can advance his work. Well, God needs us to be faithful with our money so we
can
advance
his work. And God's going to provide the funds for his work.
That's
and
right.
We need to do our part. Whether we have a little or whether we have a lot, whatever we have, it's all on the table. It's all on the altar. It's all in God's hands,
that's right.
And that's what He wants. So we're in a battle. We're in a war, and money is very much a part of this. And that's why this series is called God, Satan, Money, and You. Something else that's impressed me is that when Jesus finally comes in Revelation 14, at the end of the three angels' messages, okay. It says in verse 14. John says, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown and in his hand a sharp sickle. So when Jesus comes, he's got a crown of gold, and he's going to rescue us, and he's going to take us to the New Jerusalem if we're faithful to him, and the New Jerusalem is going to have streets of gold. So God's not against gold. Yeah, Jesus has a crown of gold. We're going to live in a city of gold. But the ultimate gold that's going to get us there is the inner gold. It's the golden characters.
The character tried in the fire.
That's right. A character that's been tried and purified so Jesus is reflected in us and so that we reveal him during the final crisis, during the loud cry, during the latter rain, all the way through to the end. Jesus Christ wants to reveal his character through us. And if we are doing that, we are revealing a greater goal than this world can ever see or ever know. And so that's our goal for doing this series. We hope it's been a blessing to you as you've studied all these issues, God, Satan, money, and you, and that you'll give your heart to Jesus, your money to Jesus, your life to Jesus. You'll serve him with an unselfish heart and help advance his work until he comes on that final day.
We hope you enjoyed this video. Before you go, check out these wonderful books for sharing. The Truth About the Sabbath is packed with information for anyone wanting to understand the Sabbath subject. Also, the 666 Beast Identified. What it means to you identify as both the beast and his strange number 666. What do the beast and his number have to do with you? Both are available in paperback and ebook versions from Whitehorse Media.
We hope you've been blessed by this Whitehorse Media production. To support Whitehorse Media, please call us at 1-800-78-BIBLE. That's 1-800-782-4253. You may also send your donations by mail to Whitehorse Media, P.O. Box 130, Priest River, Idaho 83856, or donate online at whitehorsemedia.com.
And now for some breaking news. Whitehorse Media has just launched its new free online Bible school, Thunder in the Holy Land, filmed in Israel to help you and others discover the true teachings of God's Word. To learn more, visit WhitehorseMediaBibleschool.com. You'll be glad you did.